Good morning, Texas Tech. Welcome into the show, everyone. On today's show, we're going to be talking about the local culture here in Lubbock, Texas, local food, art, and film, the Lubbock Ballet and the Lubbock Orchestra. This is going to be exciting.
It is going to be exciting. I'm Kiara Powell, and we are going to have in studio with us Paul Hunton with the Lubbock Flatland Film Series and KTTZ, along with the conductor of the orchestra for Lubbock.
And I'm Matt Smith. Just want to say real quick, rest in peace, Margaret Thatcher. The United Kingdom's Iron Lady passed away earlier this morning. Now back to Kiara with news.
Good morning, I'm Kiara Powell with a look at your KTXT news update. A person was transported to the hospital early this morning with life-threatening injuries following a hit-and-run accident. According to the Lubbock Police Department, the accident happened around 2:30 this morning near the intersection of Mac Davis and Avenue V. One arrest has been made. Police are still looking for the other person involved who fled the scene. A Mexican journalist will receive an award for her coverage of drug violence in a dangerous border city. Sandra Rodriguez Nieto, a reporter out of Juarez, will receive the Daniel Pearl Award. The award was given to journalists who exhibit tremendous courage in their work. Nieto reported during a wave of drug violence that resulted in thousands of murders, including two of her colleagues. She'll receive that award in a ceremony this June in Los Angeles. Here's Cutter Martin with a look at our weather.
Temperatures are mild this morning in the 50s for most of the South Plains, including the city of Lubbock, and mild temperatures this morning will turn downright hot this afternoon, warming to the upper 70s by lunch, topping out near 90 later today. And along with those rising temperatures, winds will be increasing through the day as well, gusting 10 to 15 this morning, gusting over 35 this afternoon as a dry line sets up across West Texas. Some of those winds could cause some areas of blowing dust. For the Raider 88.1, I'm Cutter Martin. Now back to Good Morning Texas Tech.
Welcome into Good Morning Texas Tech, everyone. Josh Cook alongside Matt Smith. Wow. Is this some superhero music?
I don't understand.
I'm liking it.
Are we in a video game? I'm confused.
This sounds awesome.
It's Pokemon.
Oh, of course. Julie Fisher, everyone. Julie Fisher. Welcome to the show. Kind of figured. Well, welcome into Good Morning Texas Tech. Got an exciting show coming up today as we'll talk to some cool people from across the LBK. Paul Hunton of KTTZ, Yvonne Rex of the Lubbock Ballet, and David Cho of the Lubbock Symphony Orchestra will be all joining us in studio. But first, the headlines of the day. Of course, Matt giving us the breaking news of the morning that Margaret Thatcher passes away at the age of 87, the Iron Lady. So it's a sad day for the UK. Longest serving prime minister over in the UK passes away. So, Kira.
Okay, they are trying to have their first integrated prom in a city in Georgia, Wilcox County. In 70 and 71, prom stopped being held through the school because of integration, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so now these four girlfriends are attempting to start a movement. Normally, proms there are held, they're not really proms, they're private parties that are sponsored by parents, so they can control the guest list, basically. And they're each held separately from each other because they don't want any mixing when it comes to dancing. I guess that's just too much. We're pushing the envelope okay. A little too far.
And wasn't there a documentary about this?
There was. Prom Night in Mississippi. That came out in 2009. What do you guys think? Opinions? Thoughts?
I mean, when I first read the article, I thought that you literally clipped it from, you know, an article that was published in the 1960s. Mm. It was unbelievable for me to read. Granted, I'm from the Northeast, and, you know, this might be the South a little different, but it was astonishing to me.
I love how the school itself wiped its hands clean of this situation, saying, hey, we don't fund this. This is not our problem. I'm sorry, you're the superintendent of a school that holds, that has private proms that are racially segregated, your job is to step in and say, no, this ends now. The superintendent should be fired. The principal should be fired. The parents that hold these should be slapped. And it's just idiotic. It's stupid. You're telling me that, I mean, what if these kids went to any other, like,
well,
city?
The whole thing is, it's tradition. That's what they keep saying. No. It's tradition. This is the way it's always been.
I can't
so
fathom.
If it's tradition for me to go hit somebody, I'm going to go hit them every morning. Up, oh, tradition, bam.
I guess so. I don't agree with it. I think it's, you know my stance on this. I think it's very stupid. And actually, Morgan Freeman, a native of the area, in 1997, offered to cover the cost. Yeah. If the school board would hold an integrated prom, but the offer wasn't accepted until 2008 in another county in Georgia.
Well, based on the way they were running things, I'm sure they received that offer via telegram. That's how backwards that place is.
Wow. Moving on, if you did not know, in the sporting world, the Rutgers head coach, Mike Rice, who was originally suspended on Tuesday for a video that was released of him hurling basketballs at players, pushing them, shoving them, and saying gay slurs towards them. He was finally fired on Wednesday morning. And then on Friday morning, the athletic director was pretty much told to quit. I mean, you're out. You're done. So, yeah, Rutgers, great place to go play athletics right now. Welcome to the Big Ten.
Is it – and I know very minimal about sports in general, but I kind of have always thought coaches are – now, this is to the extreme, but is that not an acceptable – to some degree.
Well, in response to that, I think this stuff used to happen all the time, but wasn't necessarily reported due to a different set of standards or perhaps a lack of certain technology. You know, if Bobby Knight was doing this in the late 70s, there was not a good chance that you, me, or Josh would be able to find that footage online. Mm-hmm. I just want to touch on the athletic director, Tim Pernetti, real quick. According to an article in ESPN New York, he claims that his original intention was to fire Coach Mike Rice, and that school officials that were his superiors, such as President Robert L. Barkai, disagreed with him and overturned that.
Did he have a really great record?
Who's that, Mike Rice?
Yes.
I mean, he was considered a good coach. Basically, when it comes to an institution such as Rutgers, it takes several steps to fire someone and have justification.
Uh-huh.
But after seeing that video, I'm pretty much positive that they had justification.
The thing is, when that video, the first time that video was released and someone came to him and said, hey, oh, by the way, this video, this is practice. This is what's been happening at practice. I'm the AD.
Not a game.
My first phone call is to the coach saying, you're going to be in my office the next 5 minutes. And my next conversation is, you're fired. There's not even a conversation. And with what Matt said, my opinion on that is the president of the university needs to be out. He needs to be done. He's
agreed.
Finished.
Do you think he knew for sure?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He came out on Tuesday in Friday's press conference, and he was just, I mean, it was a PR disaster. He shouldn't even come out and he should have just made a written statement and released it to the media. Because what he did on Friday, pretty much he took a shovel, dug his own grave, threw himself in it, put the dirt back on top, put a flower on top, and that was it.
You are very descriptive in everything that you're talking about today. I just want you to understand.
There were a couple of players who made statements that they wish he wasn't fired. They think his tactics were okay and that they learned a lot from him. But, you know, it's an
outrageous statement. They learned how to dodge a ball.
Right.
They're playing dodgeball.
You can dodge a wrench. You can dodge
it. It's an outrageous statement.
It's stupid. He should have been fired. Everyone should be fired. Rutgers is done. We're taking a break here on KTXT, the Raider 88.1. Coming up next, we're going to be joined by some local talent here in the studio.
for keeping on top of the news.
You're listening to the BBC World Service.
I'm Robin Lustig.
I'm Julian Marshall.
This is Owen Bennett-Jones
with NewsHour.
For finding out what's happened.
They're out on the stage, the protest leaders, still trying to rally their supporters.
And for knowing why it's happened.
They've often then turned to the Taliban as another way of earning a living.
Stay in touch with the world with NewsHour from the BBC.
The BBC World Service. Weekday mornings from 5 to 9 here on The Raider 88.1. Here
comes the sun. Hi, I'm Cutter Martin bringing you quick, accurate, and dependable weather updates right here on KTXT-FM. Follow us on Twitter at TheRaider881, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheRaider881, or listen to us on air at 88.1 KTXCFM. KTXCFM is a service of Texas Tech's College of Media and Communication. Here comes the sun.
Tune in for Flashback Fridays here on the Raider 88.1. All the things that I used to say, all the words that got in the way. Handpicked songs from the 90s and early 2000s. So don't delay, act now. Playing our generation's version of the oldies but goodies every Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. on the Raider 88.1 KTXT FM Lubbock.
Back to Good Morning Texas Tech. This is Matt Smith here with local band Dry Heaves, brought to our attention by Middle Child Recordings. We want to thank you guys for joining us. How's it going today?
Pretty good, thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
I just wanted to ask you guys a couple questions. I'm a big fan of your song Curly Headed Mermaid. It was one of our top ads from last week. It's going to be in regular rotation on KTXT, and so I'm a little bit interested about y'all's background. First off, I'm fascinated by band names. My favorite band name is Joy Division, and I wanted to know how you guys got the name Dry Heaves.
Well, we it's been about 5 years we've been playing together, and we were just trying to think of a really gross name, you yeah. know, and Dry Heaves popped up, and it was just perfect, and then it was funny, so.
And we've all had it from too much drinking.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I worked at a record label in Brooklyn, New York called Partisan Records.
Oh, very nice.
And one of the bands there is called Deer Tick, and they much have the same explanation for their band name.
We've played with Deer Tick before.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. Here in Lubbock?
Yeah.
That's
Jake's,
awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
They're a very cool band.
Yeah, John. Crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, your song Curly Headed Mermaid reminds me of a lot of things. 50s surf rock, kind of like Dick Dale. When I first hear it, you know, I think Pulp Fiction. And then, you know, all the feedback kind of reminds me of the OCs and also maybe a little shoegaze. I'm a big My Bloody Valentine fan. Okay. So that's why I love the song. It incorporates so many genres and, you know, what can you say about that song? Do you usually play live with a lot of feedback and on the mic and stuff like that?
Usually, yeah. I use a telephone effect on my mic. And,
okay.
Distorted guitars usually. That song was basically just describes, you know, what's going on when you're having trouble with a relationship and the family really doesn't get along with you. It's talking about getting dragged under, basically.
Right.
Not everything working out.
It's kind of commonplace.
Yes, sir.
How would you guys characterize the local music scene in Lubbock? I know it's not New Orleans or Nashville, but I'm from the Northeast. I've been pleasantly surprised with the local talent here.
Mm-hmm.
So how would you guys characterize it?
It's getting better and better each year. I mean, there's new bands coming out. The ones that we play with all the time are awesome. I wish a lot more people knew about them, you know. But yeah, they're all great people too.
Cool.
Yeah.
And it's also very diverse too. Like there's so many different genres here. And I think a lot of it has to do with the isolation of us being in West Texas, that there's so many different sounds going on.
Right.
Cool. So if you guys could open for any band and y'all can all touch on this, who would it be? Kind of a fun question, probably a little difficult.
Definitely the OCs.
The OCs. Yes.
For all you?
Oh, yeah.
And OCs. Yeah.
If Link Ray was still alive, him too. Yeah, okay. Definitely.
Cool. This one might be a little tougher. Three albums to a deserted island. What would they be?
Oh, man. That is a very good question. The Master's Bedrooms We're Spending the Night In from the OCs. I'd have to say maybe Ty Siegel's Lemons.
That's great.
And the Pulp Fiction soundtrack.
Right. Cool, guys. Well, we have to wrap it up, but I just wanted to say I really appreciate y'all coming in. We're all a big fan of that song, Curly Headed Mermaid.
Thank you.
Once again, we are here with the Dry Heaves via Middle Child Recordings. Thanks again, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
With your KTXT Sports Update, I'm Joshua Cook. Red Raiders softball entered the weekend looking to get back to winning ways, but Kansas got in the way. Jayhawks sweeping the Red Raiders, winning 4-3 on Friday, 3-0 on Saturday, and 4-0 on Sunday. Texas Tech drops to 27-17 overall and 1-5 in Big 12 conference play. Red Raiders are back in action on Friday, taking on number one Oklahoma here in Lubbock. It was a successful trip to Austin for the number 15 Lady Raider tennis team, taking on number 24 Texas Longhorns. It was a tight match, Tech down 3-1 at one point, but stormed back, taking the match 4-3. The Lady Raiders are now 15-4 overall and 5-0 in Big 12 play. Tech is currently tied for first place in the Big 12 conference standings with TCU. On the men's side, the Red Raiders dropped a close one to number 22 Tulsa on Friday night, falling 4-3, and then on Sunday, number 15 Baylor got the best of Tech, winning 6-1. Texas Tech is now 14-7 overall in the 2013 season. On the diamond, it was all Kansas State this weekend as the Wildcats swept the Red Raiders, winning in walk-off fashion on Friday night 6-5, and then pounded Tech 15-2 on Saturday and 12-2 on Sunday. The Red Raiders are now 17-17 overall and 4-8 in Big 12 play. And finally, the Texas Rangers last night winning the series against Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, winning 7-3. Ian Kinsler with a 3-run home run to right field. Texas takes 2-3 from the Angels. This has been your KTXT Sports Update. I'm Joshua Cook. Now back to Good Morning Texas Tech. Joshua Cook alongside. Somehow we got flipped. So Kiera is in the main studio and I'm in the news booth. So this is definitely flipped.
Musical chairs.
And
it's
Matt
fine.
Matt is still here.
Matt. Hey, what's up, Matt?
Just making it. You know, happy to be here.
And we are here with Paul Henton, who is with on the board of directors for...
The programming board.
Okay, there programming board for Flatlands Film Series.
I have a lot
series.
Of weird titles, but that'll work. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
Also production director at KTTZ-TV, Channel 5 PBS here in Lubbock.
Very cool. Tell us a little bit about Flatland Film Series, what it is. And
sure. The Flatland Film Series is film events that come to Lubbock. It's pretty much an offshoot of the Louise Hopkins Underwood Center for the Arts. They're the ones that started it. I've been on the programming board just for this season. Last month we had Metropolis Electro, which was the fantastic masterpiece classic film, and it was scored by a live orchestra right there in the Firehouse Theater at Luca. So it was an amazing event. So you had this silent film, and then you had a 21-piece orchestra, and all kinds of genres of music actually score the film live right there for the audience. So it was a tremendous, tremendous film. And that was our program in March. We just had our program in April, which you attended.
I did.
Which was a sneak peek premiere of Ken Burns' new documentary, The Central Park Five. Very, very powerful film. It debuts on PBS April 16th at 8 p.m. We actually were able to host a screening of it 10 days prior to its actual national debut. So we were very happy to do that. It was a joint production between KTTZ PBS here and Flatland Film, sorry, and Luca.
Great.
It's early.
It is. It's very early. Do you guys do something every month?
Yes. And the Flatland Film Series, it's monthly film events, and they can take place in all kinds of different places. Usually they're at the Firehouse Theater there at Luca, but we have... It all leads up to the film festival, which I believe is in October. And that's where we actually take film submissions from the general public, from the country. We've had film submissions from all over the country and even the world. And we encourage people to submit their short films, students here at Tech or people here in the Lubbock community who have short films that they've produced and directed. And then usually there's a big film that we kind of premiere there also at the film festival. But everything kind of leads up to the film festival. You can go to flatlandfilm.org for more information on all the upcoming events. We actually have a meeting tomorrow to discuss what's going to happen in May, so I can't tell you what the next event's going to be, but stay tuned. So far, we've had an exceptional year. These two events that we just had, March and April, are just, they've been huge. The Central Park 5 premiere had one of our biggest audiences that we've had, so it's just growing and growing.
How do you guys decide what you're going to show or what avenue you're going to go down when it comes to planning
sure.
events?
Yeah, well, the programming board gets together. It's headed by Karen Wiley, who's the head of Louise Hopkins okay. Underwood Center for the Arts, and we just get together and we discuss. Dr. Rob Peasley here in the Media and Comm department at Texas Tech, he's fantastic at going out and rounding up information and films that are out there that we can bring here. He does the Global Lens film series here at Texas Tech, and so he's great at going out there and finding these films that we have the potential to bring here. And so basically it's kind of neat because there's no real set, well, we need to do this, we need to do that. It's what's available, what will audiences here really react to, and what do we have the capabilities to bring in. And so that's kind of how we get together and discuss it and then figure out what we want to do.
So do you guys usually try to pick more documentaries? You know, I'm sure it might be easier to pick an independent documentary as opposed to a fictional or dramatic film.
Yeah, absolutely, because you know, a lot of what we have to look at is the rights to bring it here, which can be costly. And so while we'd like to get to where we have these big events that are sold out to where we can afford some of these bigger films, independent documentaries, independent films are usually more affordable, but they also offer audiences here an opportunity to see films that they wouldn't see otherwise. And so while it would be nice to bring, you know, some giant, you know, the next James Cameron film at the same time, that's what the theaters serve their purpose. And so we really want to try to bring in really entertaining and engaging films, and then also give people the opportunity to see films that they wouldn't see otherwise.
So as a music guy, I can totally relate in terms of acquiring the rights. You know, it's not just, I understand you're not just putting a DVD in the player and playing it. However, I often receive a lot of music for free from, you know, maybe struggling artists or independent artists that want to promote their stuff. Do you get a lot of submissions by local talent or?
The film festival is kind of that avenue for those types of things. The actual film events, the film world's very, very different than the music world in the sense that a lot of those independent musicians, while they have spent a lot of their blood, sweat, and tears and money, the revenue isn't as you know, a film costs a lot more usually than to produce an album. So more than likely, we will have to pay for the rights to screen it no matter what. But those independent films, those documentaries are significantly less than if you were trying to get the rights to a bigger film.
What's the reaction from people here in Lubbock when you bring in those kind of events? Is there a lot of positive feedback?
Yes, we've had great feedback. And like I said, we just had our largest audience so far in the series. And so I feel like it's growing and growing, and people respond to it greatly just because it gives them something to do here that they wouldn't be able to do otherwise. It gives the film lovers of the community films to go see that they couldn't see otherwise. And while the local theaters do a good job of bringing in some lesser-known films, there's still that gap between what the independent film scene looks like and what the Hollywood film scene looks like. And we're trying to bridge that gap. Some of the events are really cool. Like last year they did an outdoor screening, and I can't remember the film, but it was barbecue and brews. So there was,
cool.
Yeah, so you could check out the film and sit in the lawn chair and drink a beer, eat some food. And so it's not just, hey, come watch this movie in this theater. There are events. There are things to go out and really enjoy.
And invest in. I think I'd never heard of any of those type of events. So where can I go to get more information?
Flatlandfilm.org. That would be your main place to go, or the Louise Hopkins Underwood Center for the Arts. I believe it's luca.org.
Have there been any other efforts in Lubbock to bring an independent movie theater? Maybe play smaller films.
Sure.
I know that, you know, I'm struggling right now to see The Place Beyond the Pines.
Yes, me too. And that one, that's a good one to bring up. You know, it was released in four theaters nationwide 2 weeks ago, and then this last Friday got a wider release. Did not come to Lubbock, went to Dallas, I think was the closest theater. And films like that, you know, they need to be shown here. Sounds like we're getting our fade-out music. But yeah, I actually interviewed Tim Day of the Alamo Draft House, and he talked about maybe coming out here to Lubbock at some point. So
Very cool. Well, thank you. We've been here with Paul Hunton with the Lubbock Festival Film Series. Flatlands Film Series. Yes.
Central Park 5, 8 p.m. April 16th.
Thanks. We'll be right back.
Yeah. This is Skylar Fox. Me and my dog Riggins listen to the Raider every day. So should you. Roof.
Welcome back to Good Morning Texas Tech, everyone. Josh Cook alongside Matt Smith, Kira Powell, Julie Fisher, and Christine Copeland across the way, pushing all the buttons and playing DJ this morning on Good Morning Texas Tech. Of course, you can listen to us online on theRaider881.com. The Listen Live button on the right side of your screen. You can also tweet at us at TheRaider881 or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/TheRaider881.
So, I wanted to share this story and get a little feedback.
Okay.
It's about a five-year-old boy. In Springfield, Ohio. His name was Ethan. And he went to school and was suspended for sporting a mohawk. Would not be readmitted to the school until he got rid of the mohawk. As someone that currently has a mohawk, I'm appalled by this.
That's a big word.
Appalled, yes. Mm-hmm. Don't ask me to spell it. Mm. But my favorite part when I read this article was that one of the reasons they suspended him is because the hairdo caused a disturbance as the quote-unquote teachers in the classroom couldn't get the attention of students. Whose fault is that?
I feel like that falls on the educator.
I could not agree more. The No Child Left Behind Act in 2002, George W. Bush, was kind of supposed to ensure that we would have good teachers, but they can't get...
Well, if we paid our teachers, they can't maybe get we little, would have better teachers.
They can't get saying. Little Brian to stop staring at Ethan's mohawk. And so, why don't we suspend the kid with the mohawk?
Well, they said that the kids, they're in kindergarten, okay? And so all the kids are running up, touching his hair, fascinated by this new hairdo. I don't know.
It's outrageous.
So you're just not allowed to be fly in kindergarten? Is
yes,
that right.
Absolutely.
I'm just saying, one day my kid, I'm just going to, just for fun, I'm going to get his hair to grow out long. I'm going to just straight up. Like, full-on mohawk.
Well,
send him to school.
The picture of the mohawk, the kid's mohawk wasn't even an inch off of the top of his head. That's where just, I was just like,
but
seriously?
If that distracts you?
If there's a plus to this story, it's that it teaches the kids a good lesson, which is don't be different. And so wow. I think that's a really good lesson for the kids to learn. You know, my point is that I think it's good for this kid to express himself through his hair. You know, his clothes.
Well, he just wanted to be like his older brother, who didn't have a mohawk, but did have similar spiky hair. And it's okay to have spiky hair.
I think that's admirable.
As long as it's not a mohawk.
Yeah.
I have a mohawk, and my little brother does not want to look anything like me.
Well, you know what? Mohawks are really difficult. It's not like the kid was wearing green spikes with a dog collar around his neck, okay? He is in kindergarten. It was a normal color, very short.
I'm letting my kids wear that.
Please don't.
Oh, that's, I'm so excited.
They will get suspended because that is a distraction.
Well,
you know what I think is a distraction? What? People complaining about my hair.
Well, and the flip side of that, there was a teacher in that same school district who put his hair in a mohawk as an effort to motivate his team to win. He was a coach, football coach, and the school says that's a completely different situation because one involved an extracurricular spirit initiative designed to motivate our kids, and the classrooms were not disrupted. The other poses a disruption to the learning environment as well as violates the student dress code. That's what they're saying, dress code.
Oh, come on. Well, you know, something that's distracting everyone right now is just a little North Korea over there in the ocean. Just
slightly more important.
Slightly more important than mohawks, but, you know. Some dude kid gets thrown out of school for having a mohawk, but then we got Kim Jong-un across the sea saying that he's going to blow everybody up. All right. Well, North Korea says sayonara to the UN. April 10th will be their last official day of reporting to the United Nations. Pretty much they're saying, all right, UN, we're going to do what we want to do, and that's the way it's going to be. Awesome.
I don't even... I know that this shouldn't... I mean, maybe I'm a worry wart like my grandmother, but I'm very concerned of what this means for us and our future.
Well, so here's the thing. Everyone is saying that these threats are empty, but everyone also knows that we have the capabilities to defend ourselves. And honestly, if North Korea were to take action against one of us or our allies, I would think they would have a very tough road ahead of them. I saw a great picture on Facebook, though, and it's got a picture of, you know, North Korea's army or whatever, and it says, North Korea has won the toss and has elected to receive, which for Texas football fans, I think they would enjoy that.
They better just defer to the second half. That's all I'm saying.
Buy as much time.
You know, the thing is, North Korea really doesn't need to be worried about us. They need to be worried about big old China that's right above them, because I think China's getting more angry about this than anybody else. And I don't know. We'll see. They're supposed to be testing their missiles this week, so we'll see what happens. Maybe they'll release another YouTube video with Photoshop in it.
They use pump rockets.
Exactly. Little bottle rockets.
Nerf guns.
We're going to take a quick break here on Good Morning Texas Tech. We'll be back with more Good Morning Texas Tech after the break on KTXT The Raider 88.1. From breaking news,
I'm Kiara Powell with your KTXT news update.
To the latest coaching hire,
Red Raider Nation, welcome with me, your new head coach, Cliff Kingsbury.
To the best music on the South Plains, we have it all for you right here on KTXT The Raider 88.1 FM Lubbock, a broadcast service of the College of Media and Communication.
This is KTXT, Texas Tech's home for the best music you want to listen to. Keep it just above 88 to hear The Raider.
Follow us on Twitter at #TheRaider and tell us what you want to hear. Or find us on Facebook and post your request.
Student ran, student heard, student loved.
88.1 KTXT, The Raider.
Take it off, take it in. Take off all the thoughts of what we've been. Take a look.
What are you going to do? Just throw your life away like it was nothing?
I'm not going there to die. I'm going to find out if I'm really alive.
Sounds of Cinema, Mondays at 4 p.m.
Never seen a blue sky. Yeah, I can feel it reaching out. Closer.
Underwriting support for KTXT-FM is provided in part by United Supermarkets. Serving West Texas and the Texas Panhandle, United Supermarkets has 10 store locations in Lubbock, including United Supermarkets, Market Street, Amigos, and United Express. More information is available online at unitedtexas.com.
Welcome back into Good Morning Texas Tech, everyone. Josh Cook, alongside Matt Smith and the dancing Kiara Powell over in the news booth.
How can you not dance to this song? When you hear it, your feet just gotta, when you feel the groove, you just gotta go with it. That's how I feel about it.
Well, you can join the conversation on Twitter at TheRaider881, or also you can listen to us online now. Click the Listen Live tab on our website, TheRaider881.com. I don't know why I just said our website like that, but it felt right. It felt right. We're now joined by a very special guest in studio, the one and only Derek Ginter, general manager of KTXT, who's been in radio pretty much since the day he walked on Texas Tech's campus.
Oh, I thought you were going to say
not
since
quite.
The day he was
not quite,
born.
But close.
Since the day I was born.
Close.
Not quite.
But you've been around the business for
a few years,
and a little thing called the Texas Association of Broadcasters, which we're a member mm-hmm. of. They're coming here on Wednesday as a career expo.
Absolutely. There is a career expo being sponsored by the Texas Association of Broadcasters. It will be over at the Frazier Alumni Pavilion. That's just opposite the southwest corner of Jones ANTSBC Stadium, or whatever they're calling it this mm-hmm. week. It's over there by the stadium, the Frazier Alumni Pavilion. It'll be from about 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. or somewhere thereabouts.
Okay.
And basically, if you're looking for a job either in broadcasting, that's radio or television or cable, or anything having to do with broadcast or media-related content, basically they're looking for people to hire. So if you're in any kind of degree program or a field that has anything to do with broadcast, with the media, or entertainment, there will be several organizations, businesses, companies there looking to hire you. So come on out. It'll be basically throughout the midday on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. We will be there. KTXT FM will have a booth there, as well as KTTZ. Paul Hunton and his bunch from the TV station will be there. And we don't have any full-time jobs, but we will be taking interesting people, taking their names down. We'll be taking interesting people away. And turning them into never mind.
So essentially,
we mean really interesting.
That's right.
So essentially, what you're saying is you're trying to find people to replace us.
You're irreplaceable. Irreplaceable, right?
That's so kind.
Actually, if students are interested in any way to do with the student radio station, we want you to come out. Mm-hmm. We'll have some T-shirts. We've got some bumper stickers. We'll have some other things with the station logo on it. But basically, it's our opportunity for students to come out and talk to us directly and get more information about the station. Who are we looking for? Anyone interested in doing music, anyone interested in doing sports, anyone interested in doing journalism, or just helping out with our media and PR, our online social media stuff. I think Marissa Trevino would say we need some, what did she call it, our road teams to go out and get the word out about the radio station.
Street crew?
Yeah, that's street crew. That's right. You say it so much better than I. We need more students. And so if you've ever been interested or are interested in wanting to be involved with the radio station, this is your opportunity. Come out Wednesday to the TAB Career Expo. That's the Texas Association of Broadcasters Career Expo. Wednesday, day after tomorrow, over at the Frazier Alumni Pavilion. We hope to see you there.
DG, what are some of the tips you would give students to make themselves desirable to hire?
Oh, that's a very good question. I would definitely dress for the part. You want to look your best. You definitely, yes, that means a tie for Josh. Actually, it means clothes for Josh, but then a tie. We want to have a tie, right? You want to look your best. You want to look the part. You definitely want to brush up your resume, and I would have at least two or three people review it.
Including Elisa Ross.
She would be good.
Who's in the Career Center here in the College of Media and Communication.
Exactly. But come prepared. That's the best advice I can give, Kira.
Thank you. I appreciate
You're
that.
You're quite welcome.
Well, we're going to break, so stay tuned.
We'll be back with more Good Morning Texas Tech right after this on the Raider 88.1, also Raider881.com. I got a lot to say.
Really, I'm fine. Your spot for alternative music in the Hub City. 88.1 KTXT FM Lubbock.
Welcome back into Good Morning Texas Tech, everyone. Josh Cook alongside Kiera Powell. We are now honored to be joined by David Cho, the Director of Music for the Lubbock Symphony Orchestra. Good morning, David. How's it going?
Oh, doing well. Thank you for inviting me here, Josh.
I know you're on a bit of a media whirlwind this morning, so we thank you for putting us in your schedule.
Oh, pleasure.
So this Saturday, Music in Motion.
Friday and Saturday at the Civic Center.
Lubbock Symphony Orchestra and the Ballet Lubbock combining forces. How exciting is that to bring two groups together like that?
It's exhilarating because it's always fun to put two disciplines together. Choreography and music coming together, it's really thrilling.
Is this a special event?
To do it with the Ballet Lubbock, it's especially more exciting and fun. And Ivan Roski and Elizabeth Gillespie did a great job choreographing to the music of Beethoven, Bartok, and Corelli. So you'll be in for a treat.
Did it take some coordination to practice together? I mean, I know on the orchestra side, you had to get the music ready, and then they had to get the choreography ready, but when you had to bring it all together, was that an interesting mix?
Well, I mean, you seem to know everything, Josh. That's that's really true. The interesting thing is that we haven't started rehearsing yet.
Oh.
We start, as you were saying, putting the music only together tonight.
Okay.
Starting tonight and tomorrow. And the dancers will come in on Wednesday and Thursday.
That's not much time at all for a turnaround.
It's four rehearsals and two
concerts.
Is
that about average or is that unusual circumstances?
This day and age when we need to produce very quickly, that's very normal. Four rehearsals.
Wow. I can't even imagine the time and the effort that it takes. I have done plays before, but a month is about standard for rehearsals. So,
well, I mean, you have to put into context that the dancers have been preparing for months on their own, and the musicians of the orchestra practice on their own, and these pieces are music that are familiar to them. So it's great to revisit the masterworks of the past and to bring to under the light some new things, new details, and details matter a lot too.
The combination of the orchestra and the ballet, is that a special event coming together? Is that something you guys try to do at least once a year?
We will try to make it at least once a year. It's two different disciplines, and it's really great to for the community to know that two different arts institutions are collaborating, and we are making music together and to show to the audience not only the music but choreography. The dancers of the Ballet Lubbock are truly, truly talented, and they're very energetic and young, and I've observed their rehearsals dancing, and for me, I had to videotape them because I need to know where they are. And Yvonne will tell you on Wednesday that tempo is the most important thing because they've been listening to a particular recording for a while. And if orchestra plays anything slower or faster than what they're used to, it disrupts their dances. Mm-hmm. So for me is to get close to the tempo as the recording so that the choreography flows.
Well, you're speaking right now, David Cho, the Director of Music for the Lubbock Symphony Orchestra. I know you took over this position, I guess, just a few months ago. I believe you got here to Lubbock and took over the Lubbock Symphony Orchestra. What's it been like taking over this orchestra here in Lubbock?
It was truly a pleasure. The Lubbock Symphony is one of the jewels of Lubbock, and they've been playing over 60 years now together, and William Herod, the founding conductor, has left us a legacy, and following him, we're really great conductors, and it's going to be very difficult for me to fill the shoes of the past music directors who have really honed the skills of the orchestra, and I look forward to making music with him for the next few years.
So for people that don't know, this Friday and Saturday night, April 12th and April 13th at 7:30 p.m., the place to be in Lubbock is the Civic Center Theater, because you'll see the Lubbock Symphony Orchestra and Ballet Lubbock come together as
and,
one.
Yes, absolutely. And I just want to mention that we have student rush tickets. Student rush tickets are just bring $5 cash.
Okay.
And 5-10 minutes before the curtain rises, you can get a ticket or something cheaper than a movie ticket.
Awesome.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate Thank the time. You. We've been joined by David Cho, the director of music for the Lubbock Symphony Orchestra. Be sure to go see Music in Motion. It's Friday and Saturday here in Lubbock. We'll be back with the final wrap on Good Morning Texas Tech right after this.
Underwriting support for KTXT-FM is provided in part by United Supermarkets. Serving West Texas and the Texas Panhandle, United Supermarkets has 10 store locations in Lubbock, including United Supermarkets, Market Street, Amigos, and United Express. More information is available online at unitedtexas.com.
Graduation is quickly approaching. Do you have a job secured? If you're looking for an opportunity to kickstart your career, check out the Texas Association of Broadcasters Career Expo Wednesday, April 10th. Booths representing media industries from across the state will be at Texas Tech's Frazier Alumni Pavilion from 10:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. to accept resumes and talk to you about job opportunities in your areas of interest. That's Wednesday, April 10th from 10:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. at the Frazier Alumni Pavilion. Bring your resume and dress up, because this could be your lucky break.
Matt, do you think we can get some more music like this in the system? Do you think that's possible?
Give the people what they want. Is that what the people want?
This is what, that's what this lady would, Adam Levine is what this lady would like, yes.
I have
Absolutely.
A,
we'll say yes.
I have a good friend named Melanie, and her father is obsessed with that song.
It's
so
catchy.
The moves like Jagger. Just real quick, we want to thank once again David Cho, the director of music for the Lubbock Symphony Orchestra, for stopping by, telling us about Music in Motion that will be happening this Friday and Saturday night, April 12th to 13th at 7:30 p.m. You can go to their website, www.lubbocksymphonyorchestra.org. And also, their phone number is 806-762-1688. And for students, like Mr. David Cho said, 5 minutes before curtain rises, you can walk up, have $5 in your hand, and you can get a ticket to go see Lubbock Symphony Orchestra and Ballet.
There.
I will be there.
In a tutu.
No. No. I will be there, but I will tell you, I have seen the Lubbock Symphony Orchestra perform before. It's an absolute amazing group of musicians that perform, and it's definitely something good to go see in Lubbock.
And I also want to thank the Dry Heaves for coming in. I know 8 a.m. is early for an aspiring rock and roll band. And so I thank them for coming in, and I highly recommend everyone check their stuff out.
Then Paul Hunton stopping on by. You can check out.
Now you're the odd man out, Kira.
I didn't get a chance to thank him because you guys did it for me. So thanks.
24 frames on KTTZ.
Thanks, Professor Hunton. We appreciate you. And I am glad, because I totally forgot to email him to confirm until midnight last night.
Wow.
So. It was great.
So, Josh, what's the deal with this new scoreboard at the Jones? Do you know?
It's just going to be a monster scoreboard, 36 feet tall, 100 feet wide.
Okay, so I just see them working on it.
Yeah, so. It's going to be fun. They're putting a new sound system in.
Unnecessary funds, in my opinion, just a little bit.
I mean, the thing is, it completes the stadium. I mean, the stadium's been in this 10-year plan where they added the east side, and then they added the extra seating, and then now on that end of the stadium, really with the additional wings on that end, the old scoreboard just looked very itty-bitty.
I was told that they did it so nobody could see the stadium from the roof.
They'll still be able to see one end of the end zone. They'll be able to see the far end zone, but I mean, the main thing is, comparing our video board and our sound system to the rest of the Big 12, it was pretty bad. Okay. Our sound system has been terrible for about like the last 2-3 years. Our video board just is not there, and everything's going HD now in high definition and 3D and whatever else you want.
Well, when you get Kingsbury, I guess we need to be able to see him in HD.
I think it's great.
I know Julie Fisher wants to see Cliff Kingsbury in HD. Well, that does it for us. Good morning, Tex Tech. Thanks for listening. You always check out our recorded shows on theraider881.com. We'll talk to you Wednesday morning. Thanks.
Sounds of Cinema, Monday afternoons at 4.
Listen to them. What music they make.
Relive the silver screen experience with J.W. Smith and Citizen Wells as your hosts.
You are a toy!
They'll take you through the sounds and music from your favorite feature films.
Here's Johnny.
Sounds of Cinema, Mondays at 4 p.m. here on the Raider 88.1 KTXT FM Lubbock.
Just rolling through the streets of Lubbock, keeping us safe, and listening to KTXT, The Raider 88.1. I've never listened to anything else, and I'll never have to.
Very warm temperatures in the upper 80s to near 90 at this hour will only slowly cool through the evening, dropping into the mid and upper 70s after sunset, hopefully down to a low near 50 tonight. Those winds will be gusty this afternoon as well, decreasing this evening, but still some areas of blowing dust across the South Plains as the dry line sets up across West Texas. A slight chance of thunderstorms into your Tuesday as a cold front brings much colder weather for your Wednesday. For the Raider 88.1, I'm Cutter Martin, throwing you back to the music.